Busy Sunday on the Family of Stations, 5:30 today. If you're looking for the Hawks and the Nets, Real Voice of the Hawks coverage, Steve Holman from Brooklyn, New York City. Brooklyn's not a separate town. It's a borough of New York City, so it's actually New York City. 5:30 on B103, and then at 6 o'clock on 92.9 The Game, coverage of Atlanta United and Inter Miami from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, of course, when it comes to Atlanta United and voices, Mike Conney is the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, and he will be front and center with Jason Longshore at the stadium tonight for this playoff rematch between these two teams. And he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Mike. What's up?
John, are you there?
Hi, there you are. Hey, Mike.
How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good, man. So, exciting game tonight. You know, Inter-Miami, last time you saw them, you were knocking them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Inter-Miami has been probably the best team in North America since the Super Friends all got together and started playing together here in MLS with Messi and Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, and Luis Suarez. And they've been running over everyone other than one team, and that's Atlanta United. They have been the bogey team for Inter-Miami. And, you know, that playoff series in particular, there were a lot of kind of weird, strange things that happened that ultimately, I think, resulted in Brad Guzan being the central figure in winning that series for Atlanta United. You know, on paper, Atlanta United is so much better now than they were the group that played Miami in the postseason. Just top to bottom, the roster is so much better. And yet, I get the feeling coming into this game tonight, even with Inter-Miami in the midst of Champions Cup and playing for a lot of match compression right now, that this is going to be an incredibly difficult game for Atlanta United tonight.
So what do you expect here? I mean, with Atlanta United, they scored three goals, obviously, with Lotte Lath and win their opener, and then they haven't scratched since. So is it a case where they just have to get one in the back of the net and then things will start flowing for them?
Well, I hope so. However, you know, unfortunately, I think this has kind of become a trend over the last couple of years. And we talk at various points during the season about how, oh, Atlanta United is doing everything but scoring. They're doing everything but putting the ball in the back of the net. I think there's some truth to that when you look at how the Charlotte and Red Bulls match has played out. They certainly got a lot of shots on frame. They're among the league leaders in shots on target, or at least were coming into this week. But they haven't underperformed their expected goals, which is a measurement of the likelihood of a goal occurring based on where the shot came from. They haven't really underperformed their expected goals by a dramatic amount. I think there have been some interesting pieces this week that have analyzed what the problem is in Atlanta United's attack. And it seems to all boil down to everyone not being on the same page yet. And that's to be expected when you've assembled an attacking group that had not played together prior to 3 weeks ago. So hopefully, you know, through examination of film, through extended time on the training ground, through the return of critical wide players like Pedro Amador and tonight Brooks Lennon, hopefully this is going to start to open up for Atlanta United, because one issue that they, I think, have been dealing with is they've gotten too narrow down the middle. They've gotten too compact down the middle, and they're playing themselves into phone booths. And now I think with Brooks Lennon coming back tonight and Pedro Amador coming back now for a second game, this hopefully will allow Atlanta United to attack from wider positions and maybe spread an opposing defense out a little bit. Similar to an American football team lining up with five wide receivers with the intent of running a quarterback draw so they can spread the defense apart and there's more room down the middle for the quarterback to run. It's kind of a crude reference, but that's the best I can do on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, it's all right. 6 o'clock tonight, live on 99 The Game. Of course, big crowd expected. I know that you don't know the answer to this, but if I don't ask it, people are going to get mad at me. Any indication as to whether or not Messi will even attempt to play tonight or sub in or...
No, I mean, he'll be there. He's definitely coming. Javier Mascherano, Inter-Miami's coach, at least said that. Messi played about 40 minutes in Jamaica on Thursday night in a CONCACAF Champions Cup game. He scored. prior to that, he had been on the bench for a few games and had not played. But the fact that he played Thursday night seems to indicate that he's not hurt. Messi's never had an issue with playing on turf before. So, you know, please don't assume that that is the determinant. We've seen many examples now of Messi going out and playing on turf and not having any issues. Inter Miami's a really deep, talented team, though, John, and they've brought in some players over the offseason that have made their attack even more dynamic than what they had last year, and it has nothing to do with Messi. Messi has not played with these guys a lot. I'm talking about Telesco Segovia, who has scored three times in the league so far, and Tadeo Allende, who has scored twice for Inter Miami. Had a goal for them, the goal against Charlotte last week in their 1-0 win, where they went down to nine men because their goalkeeper was sent off. So between Allende and Segovia, and then obviously you have Suarez, and they seem to play a lot through Benjamin Kromoski Thursday night after they had an injury problem in their midfield, and they lost a midfielder due to injury in the first half, David Ruiz. My guess is Messi will come off the bench tonight. I'd be surprised if he started, because quite frankly, I don't think he needs to start right now. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility of Messi starting either. In either case, unless one team is blowing the other out in the second half, I think you're going to see Messi at some point tonight.
Mike Heine, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. Again, 6 o'clock coverage right here on 92.9 The Game, Inter-Miami and Atlanta United. We mentioned, of course, Mike is a man of many hats here, so I'm going to fire some other things at him real quick. Mike, I'm kind of surprised at the national media reaction, NFL writers' reaction to the Falcons making the move to pay Kirk Cousins the $10 million that he, you know, for to keep him here, because wasn't it obvious to it was to me, and maybe I'm just wrong, wasn't it obvious that when Mr. Blank indicated that they were going to do what was in the best interest of the club, that they are going to seek to at some point now after June 1st during the season trade him and get some value for him?
Yeah, or keep him and have a very good backup quarterback, I mean, which could also fall under the framework of best interest in the team. No, I'm not surprised at all. I am a little surprised at kind of the righteous indignation that was out there yesterday. Oh, I can't believe the Falcons did this. Well, first of all, there are mechanisms still in place for the Falcons to get some of this money back. There's mechanisms in place for the Falcons to still get value for Kirk Cousins later this offseason. And again, I find it to be a perfectly reasonable explanation that you have X amount of money budgeted for the quarterback room, regardless of who's the starter and the backup, and you're at that budget right now. The one thing that I'm glad the Falcons aren't doing is just letting Cousins walk for nothing because he wants to go play for a starter. That's not the Falcons' problem right now. You know, I don't want to see Kirk Cousins walk for nothing and get nothing in return, considering all you have to do to get him, all you had to give up, the draft pick you lost because you tampered to get him. I don't think Kirk Cousins has earned the right to just go over the head of Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and go straight to the owner and plead to be allowed to leave for, you know, no compensation to the Falcons because he wants to go to the starter. Go be a starter somewhere. I'm perfectly fine with the position that the Falcons have taken in all of this.
Yeah, I am too. Righteous indignation is a good term here, because I don't think they understand the dynamic of what's taking place. But
okay. No.
Yeah, I just so. All right, but I'm good with everything, and I expect that we'll move forward here in an offseason. Kind of broadly here. I know a lot of fans have been disappointed, but, again, working with what you have to work with, again, having to part with Grady and Dolman was really never coming back because of the money. I actually think the Falcons have done okay if, in fact, that they have found some diamonds in the rough. And I'm not just talking about Leonard Floyd and, Divine Diablo, but maybe a guy like Morgan Fox. If you're going to go with the young guys in the interior defensive line, and because there's one thing I can't know, and I mentioned this yesterday, and I've been talking about it. When Jeff Ulbrich came in, did he look at tape and did he watch things and say, why in the world weren't you playing Ruka Roro? Guy just makes plays. And I don't know if it was a scheme thing or if it was a Rook thing or whatever, but it's entirely plausible, Mike, is it not, that Jeff Ulbrich looks at some of these young players, most notably Dorlus, Aurora, and Trice from last year, and says, we didn't see one, we should have seen more of the other two, and that these three guys can be impact players.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely possible. And I also think, too, the Falcons, every team in the NFL, including the Falcons, deserve the benefit of the doubt until the draft is complete in evaluating what they have done this offseason. Look, the Falcons did not have a lot of money to spend. You know, this is like you have a credit card and you're right up against the limit and you're trying to find the last few things you can buy before you go over the limit and they shut your card off. And I think the Falcons have done a reasonably good job at that. But what they end up doing in the draft, and if they end up spending their entire draft capital on the defensive side of the ball, I think will go a long way to determining how we feel about this offseason. And I think there's plenty of value on the draft board where the Falcons are selecting and with the number of picks that they have, where they can go out and hopefully find at least two or three immediate impact players for this defense. And then I feel even better about what they've done in this offseason. Now, unfortunately, the last couple of years, the Falcons have not done a very good job at finding a lot of impact players in the draft outside of, the can't-miss prospects like a Bijan Robinson or a Drake London. They're going to have to show us some things in this year's draft that, unfortunately, we haven't seen in the last couple. But I think the totality of what this team does in free agency and draft is how we need to evaluate this. I can't just look at what they've done in free agency and give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down, because they have just been so limited financially in what their options were. But I do, to your point, John, I do think they found some good value in some players. I think Morgan Fox is a very intriguing player. The guy from the Raiders, Diablo, a very, very intriguing player. And will help them with speed. You know, they had some issues with their linebackers maybe not being, the fastest. And he'll come in and he'll address that need right away. So I think, Jeff Ulbrich and Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, they've identified what they need, what they can get, how they can improve this defense based on what they need and what they can get. And they're on the right track so far.
All right, so Mike Heine wins the bracket challenge at the station every year, has for 15 years in a row. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm incorrect about that. But most fans don't realize, Mike, and I want you to promote the coverage on the station of the NCAA tournament because Selection Sunday tonight. I think most fans don't realize, downside. Do you realize that UConn's going for three straight national titles? And most people are like, really?
Yeah, I let my dog pick my bracket. I feel like he's got a better chance than I, because I've seen people who are absolute experts at college basketball and are incredibly knowledgeable and do a great job of handicapping these games, and they do know better than Susie from accounting or Joe in finance, who might not even be able to identify a single college basketball player. There's so much luck of the draw. But it's a fun 3 weeks. I've had a lot of fun watching the conference championships. Kennesaw State made a little bit of a run. And Liberty, who ended up getting in out of Conference USA last night, they very nearly lost on Friday to Kennesaw State in the semifinals of Conference USA. So, we'll have a local team in Georgia. We almost got Kennesaw in there as well. I think Georgia Tech will go to the NIT. I have always had a lot of fun watching the tournament, especially the first 2 days. You'll be able to hear a lot of those games on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and also our sister station, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. So thank you for letting me do that plug, John. As far as who's going to win it all, man, I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, St. John's looks pretty tough to me right now.
Yeah, how about Rick Pitino? That's
how
a reclamation.
How about that?
You know?
How about that? Someone posted a graphic of Rick Pitino in the second year of his tenure at St. John's, Iona, Louisville, Kentucky, Providence, everywhere he's been, his second year has been remarkable. And he did it again with St. John's this year. That looks like a team that would be very, very tough to play against. But again, it's all matchup dependent, and it's all based on who's having a good day and who's not. And that's the one fun thing about the tournament now. It might not have been this way 30 years ago, but with the way that the NBA has changed college basketball with one and dones, and you don't have nearly as many seniors now, these tournaments are so much more wide open than they were 30 years ago, when it was kind of destined when the brackets came out that, okay, you're going to have UNLV, you're going to have Duke, and maybe two other high seeds, maybe not Cinderella's, and that's your Final Four. We don't really have that anymore, and it makes the tournament more fun.
Mike, as always, thanks much. Enjoy the game tonight. Don't have to tell you to do it. It's a big one. Thanks much.
It is. See you, John. Thanks a lot.
Atlanta United, Messi in Miami tonight, 6 o'clock live on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Again, Hawks and Nets, 5:30 coverage on our sister station, V103 with Steve Holman.